The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with SuperValue Travel Insurance. Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance online at supervalue.ie.
The unmistakable voice of the great balladeer and storyteller Liam Clancy. Let us hear it now.
There's a glen in Ahadu, Ahadu, Ahadu. There's a deep and secret glade in Ahadu.
That was the unmistakable voice of Liam Clancy, who was one of the legendary Clancy brothers who took Irish music to the world and brought it back home again, inspiring a whole new generation of musicians to reinvent the Irish songbook as we had known it, giving it a whole new life. The brothers, along with Tommy Makem, were instantly recognisable in their Aran sweaters and Liam's trademark cream cloth cap. They have been dubbed Ireland's first ever pop stars, indeed. On Christmas night, Liam Clancy McCara, a compelling and heartwarming documentary about the man behind the cap will be broadcast on TG Cahir. I'm joined now by the director of the documentary, Tadhg Uachtaráin. Tadhg, how are you?
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me.
Tell us what the documentary is about.
So, we all know who Liam Clancy was and what he's done for Irish music around the whole globe. But in this programme, we get a kind of an insight into the life of Liam Clancy, but told through the eyes of some of his family members and closest friends to him. we get a real insight into the personality of Liam Clancy, how he was off the stage on a Tuesday morning, sitting around his kitchen table, and to try and get an insight into how his great mind thought.
And Liam Clancy, was he the natural star of the band, would you say?
I think he always was. If you look at his books, he always says that he was the baby in the family, you know, and I think his brothers always looked to Liam to start off a song or tell a story at a party, and he always was the life and soul of the party and always in charge of the sessions that were going on. He used to sit up at the top of the bar like a king on his throne and nominate everyone around him to tell a story or sing a song, and I think that'll come true in the programme, you know.
And Tadhg, the Clancys hung out with all kinds of interesting people, not least Bob Dylan, who I believe borrowed some of their material.
Absolutely. I think it's no knowledge that Bob Dylan said of Liam Clancy that he was the best ballad singer that he's ever heard, and I don't think you can get a greater recommendation than that. They were just normal people to Liam Clancy. Liam Clancy didn't matter if he was hanging out with Bob Dylan or some gentleman who lived down the road drinking a pint on a Tuesday. He was the same around everyone. It didn't matter who you were.
And that period that they spent in New York, that must have been an amazing time for them.
Oh, it's a whole revolution of folk music. And like we said, they really put Ireland on the map with their songs and their stories. And really, the revival of the Irish music and the folk music around the world. And huge credit has to go to the Clancys and Liam in particular also.
And when it comes to Liam himself, what would you say about him? What type of man was he?
I think Siobhan, his daughter, says it in the documentary and really sums it all up, that his whole life was a performance. Liam Clancy, he could tell a story about anything, a man walking down the road with his dog, and you felt like that you were brought in into that story, and you know, he made you feel like you were actually there. And I think that's one of Liam's greatest traits while he's singing was... He was first and foremost an actor, and that came through in his singing, and he really brought you into the story. And I don't think there's many musicians around that still have that as good as Liam did have.
And Tadhg, you grew up in Ring, and you knew Liam from visiting his home with your father.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I didn't see Liam Clancy as anything special in terms of how famous he was. Maybe I was just too young to realise it at the time. To me, Liam Clancy was just Liam that I used to call over with my dad a couple of times a week when I was younger.
What are your memories of that time?
I remember running around. Liam had a 7-acre site, and to me, to go over that, and he had 3,000 trees planted all around it, a swimming pool in the back, and he had an ultra-modern house. And to me, it was like going to some kind of fairy tale. Anytime we'd call over, I used to jump at the chance to go over. I was raised listening to Liam Clancy's music, and there's very little songs that the words I don't know, but... look, there's many times we'd be sitting in the kitchen and next thing Liam would just run over to the window and I'd be like, what's going on? And he's like, the white rhino, it's outside. Liam would run, get two cowboy hats, get out his air gun, and next thing there's me and Liam Clancy tracing up through the backfield trying to find this white rhino. You know, and that's the point that I'm trying to get across in this documentary is, it didn't matter whether Liam was standing in front of 4,000 people over in New York or a 7-year-old boy inside in his kitchen. It was the same performance day in, day out with him.
He's a great fun, obviously.
Absolutely.
And somebody said that when the Clancys were playing in Ring, it was a bit like the Beatles being in town.
Yeah, that's our local public in Ann Mooney, and there's many people who've come to Ring, and that's probably where they would have met Liam mostly, sitting up directing his sessions, as he said. But there is a very funny quote from a local gentleman down here. And he said, like, before Liam Clancy came to the Gaeltachtaigin Rhine, he said, we were only used to eating, you know, a bit of meat and vegetables and potatoes. And next thing, Liam Clancy rolls in with his spaghetti bolognese and his pizzas and garlic bread. And he said, that's what he brought to Ring, you know. And he brought so much to the Gaeltachtaigin Ring and really kind of put it on the map for us.
Yeah. And was he a spiritual man, would you say, Tadhg?
I'm not quite sure. I wouldn't be my place to say. Liam was, he had a lot of thoughts. Not sure if he what he actually thought about the Catholic Church itself, but that he believed in something. But I'm not quite sure if what it was. Did you get me?
Yes, indeed. And how did all the brothers get on?
I mean, if touring with your brothers, of course, you're going to argue in the terms of that, and especially, I think, we interviewed Finbar Clancy, and he kind of gave us an insight into it, that you're in this little bubble, and you spend so much time with these people, of course, tensions are going to boil over, but I think they shared a unique... they were living out their dream, you know. A lot of people saw the Clancy brothers as just, you know, five iron sweaters up there getting drunk and singing, drinking songs. And Liam is quoted in the programme that there was a lot more to that. You know, they really believed in what they were doing in terms of getting the music out there. And like he says, it was almost lost until their revival, as them being part of that revival, and brought it really back to the brink.
And the documentary includes some previously unseen performances and interviews.
Yes, I would really have to thank Liam's family and especially Kim Clancy for releasing a lot of stuff that hasn't been seen before, like maybe previous interviews done with Liam throughout his life for different documentaries that weren't used for other reasons. And it's really nice because it's him telling his story, and there's a progression throughout the programme in that, you know. And I was surprised to hear some of the things he said, because he really did feel kind of angry about what people kind of thought of him, you know. I don't think people realise what Liam really was about, and how much he actually really did care about what he was singing, you know. He put everything into his songs.
So you're saying he was misunderstood in some quarters?
I think so, and I think Liam believed that also.
Oh, is that something that upset him?
In the interviews that we have, it did. It seemed that he was aggrieved by this. And I think that drove him to really put it out there. And I think so. I think he did, yes.
Well, we're going to listen now to a bit of classic Clancy's and Tommy Makem. Here it is now, Waltzing Matilda. And we'll play it now.
Now when I was a young man, I carried me pack, and I lived the free life of the rover. From the Murray's green basin to the dusty outback, I waltzed my Matilda all over the
the wonderful Waltzing Matilda. What would you say, Tig? What would you say his legacy is?
I think that we really owe it to Liam Clancy and the Clancy brothers for taking back from the brink of extinction a lot of our Irish culture and Irish songs. Without them, there mightn't have been the next generation of musicians that were inspired by them, and I think that's what his legacy will be.
They were the trailblazers in some ways.
Absolutely.
And we have a text here from a listener. Was walking through Air Square in Galway one day about 15 years ago. There was a big crowd of about 100 standing in a circle around someone or something. I pushed my way in and it was Liam Clancy just sitting, singing with the banjo, a hero of mine. It was a wonderful treat. Well, Tig, thanks a million for joining us this morning. What time does the documentary go out on TG Cahir?
So it's been aired on Christmas Day at 10 past 10 on TG Cahir.
Great. Tig, take care of yourself.
I really appreciate it. Thanks a million, John.
And a happy Christmas.
Another one.